just 11 verses in it. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon like, and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of the fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, and the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in His temple doeth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord setteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord setteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. I've titled this psalm tonight, The Most Powerful Voice Ever. Powerfulest voice in the universe, as a matter of fact. Talks about the voice of the Lord, God speaking. Now, you read some of the commentaries, they say that David would sit and watch a big storm come by. A great, great thunderstorm. A great storm out on the ocean or out on the sea. And he watched all of that and heard the voice of God and seen God in this great storm. Now, whether that's so or not, I don't know. But I do know this, like what Brad read tonight. He spake. It was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So since whenever He speaks something, it stands, can never be altered, and when He commands it, it stands fast, then let all the world stand in awe of Him. Let the whole earth fear before Him. And His voice, and I say this, His voice has been heard by very few effectually. I mean His voice. Most people have never heard the voice of God, though He has spoken in so many ways. But I mean, when I say they've never heard His voice, it's been heard by very few effectually. I mean that it actually has an effect upon them, that it changes them, that it does something for them. In Hebrews 1:1 it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners in time past spake unto the fathers by the prophets, dreams and visions. In these last days He's spoken unto us by Son. But God speaks. And He's always spoke. And it's whether anybody hears His voice or not. And when somebody even comes with a message from God, it's sometimes that message won't do any good unless God blesses the man's voice. Above and beyond just hearing the man's voice and hear the voice of God in the message. I know God spoke in creation. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, there was water, great water upon the face of the deep. And God said, let the waters and the earth be separated. So God spoke, and His voice was heard greatly in creation. He spoke to Moses. Moses standing on a mountainside and the bush lit up, just fired up. Moses got close to the bush and said, what in the world is this going on? About the time he got close, God spoke to him. Right out of that bush. He heard the voice of God and said, Moses. He said, now the first thing you do is you take off your shoes. That's the first thing you do before you get close to me. Take off your shoe, because the ground you stand on is holy ground. And you're standing on Mount Sinai. He spoke to Noah, and He told Noah that judgment was coming and prepared you a place for you and your household to be saved. And He spoke, and you remember when Samuel was a young boy, and he was sent up, his mother gave him back to the Lord, and he went up and he was in Eli's house. He was a servant to Eli. And God came to Moses, came to Samuel, and I said, "Samuel, Samuel." And he got up and run over to Eli and said, "What did you want, Master? What do you want?" And he said, I said nothing to you." So he went back and laid down a little while. "Samuel, Samuel." And he got up with Eli again and said, "Oh, what do you want? What do you want?" He said, "It's not me." He said, "Now listen, that's the Lord speaking to you. You go lay back down, and next time you hear that voice say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" And he said, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." So God, when He speaks, very few people get to hear it. And I tell you what, I want to hear His voice, don't you? I want to hear His voice. I want to show you something over here in 1 Kings before we get into this message. 1 Kings chapter 19. Look how God speaks. God don't always speak the way we think He should or the way we would have Him speak. But He does speak. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. You know the story of Elijah. And Jezebel says she's going to have him killed. And so he took off and sat down under a juniper tree, and God told him to go where to go and what to do. And it came down, look in verse 9 now. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, now listen, while he's in the cave now, and he's lodging in this cave, behold, the word of the Lord came to him. God came to him. The word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here?" God's speaking to him, asking him a question. And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Now the Lord said to him, said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." Get out, get stand on the mount. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break pieces of the rocks before the Lord. God sent a wind there that rocks began to fly, and rocks began to fall, and rocks began to fall off that mountainside. And oh, and after the wind, he sent an earthquake. Now, I just stand here going through this now. This wind and rocks flying everywhere, and in an earthquake, and that mountain began to quake and shake all over. And Elijah's still standing there. After the earthquake, there's a fire. God sent lightning down. Started a fire. Now listen to this. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now what did Elijah do when he heard that still false small voice? And it was so when Elijah heard it. Everybody thank God in the storms, and he got, you know, he speaks in this all these ways. But he says, spoken a still small voice, and Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle. And I tell you what, that's what men's heard the voice of God. This bunch that hears God's voice, and they start jumping up and down and throwing their hands and throwing songbooks and having a great big time and all that. When men heard God's voice in the Scriptures, they fell as dead men. They got down in the presence of Him and they worshiped. And I tell you, that's one of the most wonderful things in the world, is sit and hear the voice of God speak. Speak. And all, God speaks with order. He don't speak with chaos. He speaks with purpose. He speaks to instruct. He speaks to inform. And so David is giving here unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due of His name. Now we cannot give anything. When He says give unto the Lord the glory due His name, now we can't give, we're not giving anything to God. That means a tribute to Him, acknowledge Him as He is. Give glory unto the Lord. You know, He's worthy of our glory. He's worthy of our Lord. And the mighty give unto the Lord. We can't give God glory and strength, but we can attribute and magnify and bless Him for His glory and His strength. And so we stand back and say, the Lord's got all glory. The Lord's got all strength. The Lord, that we give glory due His name. His name is worthy of the most awe reverence and the most respectful and magnificent way of talking of it. His name is august, and we never ought to ever mention His name in a flippant way. And that's why I give glory due unto His name. Well, what glory is due the name of our Lord? What glory is we worthy of us giving Him? What's His name? What is His name? And what is His character? And what is His blessed person? And what is His purpose? And what has He done? And what does His name mean? What glory does due unto Him? Well, whatever it is, we can't give it. But we should sure take a shot at it, can't we? We can take a shot at it. And then it says, worship Him. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And all that beauty of holiness means in His glorious sanctuary. There where the glory of the Lord is. Now I'm going to talk about the voice of the Lord. Excuse me. I'm going to talk about the voice of the Lord. Several things about the voice of the Lord. God speaking. And He has spoken. And He is speaking. And I bless you. And I hear His voice in all of these things. You see if you don't hear. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, the Lord is upon many waters. That means that His voice is universal. His voice has universal power. There's not any place on the earth where there's not waters. And I think that if you go through the Scriptures, it talks about seeing a sea and sea of people and great waters, and His voice is a great water as the voice of many waters. I think that when we talk about the waters, we're talking about people. And God's voice coming upon many waters. And I think that the waters is, He's talking about here is universal. The nations and all the people on the face of the earth. And what He's saying here is the voice of God's Word. When He speaks upon the many waters. You can go through Revelation in different places and see if I ain't right about that. But He speaks, and He speaks upon these many waters and all these seas of people that's before Him. And His voice, the voice of God is for every people. Every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. It's like on the day of Pentecost when all those fellows, when Peter got up and started preaching, and the Spirit of the Lord came onto them, they all began to speak in a different language. All those people was there on the day of Pentecost, been there since the Passover, and they was all there, and there was people from every nation, every tongue, all over there, and there was 100-some people speaking in different languages, and they stood back and said, "These fellows, are we hear every man speaking in our language? How in the world's that happening?" Because God speaks in every language to every people, no matter where they're at. That's where you know they said, "The sea of the Chinese, he speaks Chinese. The sea of Mexicans, he speaks Spanish." And he even speaks hillbilly. Of course, we don't have none of those. But I'll tell you, His voice, and that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. His voice has universal power. And that's what's so wonderful about it. You can go, and this is the thing about it. You know, somebody, when they're preaching, no matter what language they're preaching, wherever they're at, God can speak to anybody, anytime, in any language on the face of this earth. He can reach anybody, anytime, any place. Because His voice covers the whole universe, covers the whole world. There's not a language where God is not heard. There's not a language that God does not speak. And then look what it says there in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Oh my. The voice of the Lord is full of power. And oh my, it's absolute power. And look what it says. It's powerful. And that means, you know, it's great. And in power, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. That's what He told Moses. He says, "Moses, listen. You're not just approaching anybody. You're approaching God. Take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy. Men have hid their faces. Men fell as dead men at the voice of God." Abraham said when he spoke to the Lord, and he said, I am but dust and ashes. Who am I to speak to the Lord? And I tell you something, God's book, God's word, you're talking about majesty. There's not a book on the face of the earth that's got the majesty. This word right here has, does it, Gary? And does it, Brad? You take this book, of all the books that's been written, this book right here has dignity and majesty and power and glory and strength that it does for people that nothing else on the face of the earth does. The closest spiritual book that's been written is Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And that ain't even close, not even close to the majesty of the Bible. This Bible describes God, the dignity of the Word of God, a majesty that belongs to this, that belongs to no other book. And it's not full of pictures. It's not full of all these great paintings and all that. This tells us of God and His majesty and His voice and His power. And when He speaks and when He works and when He does and when He fulfills His purpose, this book is full of majesty. And that's why God's book, God's Word is so imperative that we preach it and stay true to it. Huh? And that's why He says the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that listen to it, that believes. Hebrews 4:12. Let me show you some. Look over there with me. I know you've seen this before, but look here in Hebrews 4:12 with me just a moment. Talking about God's Word. The majesty of God's Word. And I'm talking about majesty. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? When He came here, and He was speaking. Oh my. And He says what He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Life. And look in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, it's alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible exposes us, and I thank God it does. The Bible exposes me and exposes you, beloved, even when we're by ourselves and nobody else around, when we do something or start to do something, the Scriptures come to our mind and speaks to us and keeps us and preserves us. Because we understand that it sees us and discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. I think this and I intend this. And then God says, I see what you're thinking. I see what you're intending. And don't do it. Or do good. That's not a very good way of saying things. Do do it. But oh, listen, that's what I was talking about here. And there's not anything that's not manifest and open to Him. So you see, the Word, God's Word is full of majesty, full of power. And then look back over it again. It's full of majesty. Oh my. God's blessed book. Oh, what majesty it is. You ever, there's a lot of books you read. I read lots of books. I go get a sack full of them, read them. But when I sit down to read this, I'll forget quickly what I read. And I'll say, later I said, did I read that book or not? I don't remember that one. And I'll have to go back and start again, see if I can. And I have to go back, you know, and see, remember what I forgot what. But when I read this thing right here, it actually speaks. It's got majesty to it. And it speaks to your heart. It speaks to your mind. It speaks to your understanding. And it does things for you, the Word of God, and meeting like we do now, it does things for you that nothing in this world can do. Nothing else can do it. And look what else He said here, down here. In the voice of the Lord, look in verse 5. His voice has breaking power. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Oh my. Now Bruce Crabtree and I one time got talking about these cedars of Lebanon. You go back and Solomon and David, when he wanted to build a house for the Lord, the guy said, no, Solomon will. And he had them send and get great cedars of Lebanon. And they'd bring them great big huge cedars of Lebanon. And his whole house was made out of these cedars. The ceiling was, and all the shit and all the gold, and these great cedars. And they were so great and so mighty and so powerful and just huge. And listen here, and they was known to be this glorious tree. This glorious, glorious tree. And look what it says, the voice of the Lord, he takes these great big trees and he breaks them. What does that mean? That means that God can bring the highest and the mightiest and the strongest. He can bring them down. You may think you're a tree of Lebanon. You may think you're a cedar. But I tell you, God can bring you down. And if He can take a cedar of Lebanon and break it, I'll tell you what, He can break the mighty and the tall and the strong and the powerful. He can bring them down. And oh, He can break the strongest. And look what he said over here in Psalm 92. You know, I tell you, this is... And he, oh, how the mighty are falling. God can bring the mightiest down. Look what he said in Psalm 9. This is what he's going to make us like. This is what he's going to make us like. Look what he said in verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. God will make you strong. Make you strong. Make you mighty. But at the same time, he says he can break you with just his voice. He can bring you to nothing with his voice. And I'll tell you, there's a fellow, so many people in the scriptures were so strong. And the one that I think of immediately is Saul of Tarsus. Man, I mean, he was strong and mighty. People feared him. God's people feared him. They were scared to death of him. And in fact, when the Lord told Ananias, you go over there and you go over to Saul of Tarsus. He's over there in Damascus. You go over there and he said, oh Lord, I've heard by many, many how evil this man is. How he despises your children. I mean, he had heard how mean this man was. But he wasn't too mean, he wasn't too high, and he wasn't too mighty for God to break. Was it? God can, and listen, let me tell you something. When you and I've got to pray this way for my own children. God, they think they're high and they think they're mighty and they think they got the world by the tail on a downhill drag. Break them. Send your voice and break them. Send your voice and humble them. Send your voice and bring them down. They think they're like a big cedar. Lord, you make them look, make them understand they're not even a good bush. Bring them down. And let me show you something about God's Word in Jeremiah. Oh, how powerful it is and how it breaks. Look in Jeremiah 9 with me just a moment. No, excuse me, Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Verse 9. I'll get you right in a minute. 23:28. Oh, listen to what Jeremiah says now. Talking about the Word, the breaking power of God's voice. Voice that breaks and tears down. And the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my Word, let him speak my Word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? That's why I said a dream and the Word. Chaff, the wheat is the Word. Chaff is just a tree. He said, is not my Word like a fire, saith the Lord. What does fire do? It burns, consumes what's in front of it. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Oh my, he sends his Word. He just, man, he can bust it. He can bust that heart. He can bust that wheel. He can break that heart. And then look what else it says about his name. You know, it's this Herod. Let me tell you this. Herod. Remember when Herod was given a great oration in Acts chapter 12 and they all heart started, oh, it's the voice of a God. It's the voice of a God. And God smote him with worms in his stomach. and he died. God's going to let folks know that if you're going to call somebody God, I'm going to let you know who God is. I'm going to let you know who He is. And then not only that, but it's separating power. Look down in verse 6. In verse 6, He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. What does this mean? He maketh them also to skip like a calf. What makes you skip like a calf? The cedars of Lebanon. Now what in the world does this mean? When he said he breaks the cedars of Lebanon, he maketh them also to skip like a calf. That means that he comes through there and he not only can bring them down, but he can take and take the leaves and everything on it and just break it into pieces and scatter it all over the place. He can come through there, his voice just tears the limbs and everything off of it and just scatters them all over the place. Like a bunch of calves skipping around. They just hit the ground and go flying everywhere. Separating branch from branch, tearing trees up from its very roots. And that's what God does when He sends a storm. When He sends a storm of truth, you know what it does? It'll tear up opinions. It'll break up relationships. It'll cause you to give up old habits. It'll cause you to turn from your traditions. It separates flesh from spirit and the old man from the new. I mean, he just goes through that thing and just scatters it. Like it just skips it off across the ground. And oh my, and that's what he does to us. He can separate us to himself. He can separate flesh from spirit. I mean, he can tear everything that we have and separate it and put it back together. And I bless His name for that. And then look what else He said in verse 7. Excuse me. It's a dividing power. His voice has dividing power. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Now how in the world do you take a fire and divide it? I don't know. I really don't know. But God does. He said His word is as a fire. And He said He divides the fire. It can consume us. Our God is a consuming fire. And as He divides this fire, it can purge us. It can try us. And I tell you, He divides the flames of fire. He divides asunder everything that's not right. He can take fire and cause fire over here and fire over there, fire in this place and fire in that place. When we just have fire in one place, God can burn something up over here and try something over there, purge something over here, cause tongues of fire to fall on people over there. He can divide the fire. And I tell you what, when He talks about the voice of the Lord dividing the flames of the fire, the voice of the Lord is a terror to some. When it comes in fire. But boy, it's music from heaven for others. Look what else He does here about it. In verse 8. The voice of the Lord has shaking power. It can shake. Look what He said here. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. You know, when He talks about shaking the wilderness, when you think about the wilderness, it's a desolate place, barren place, hopeless place, a place where men can be lost. Men can't find their way out. A place where when you get in it, you know you're in wilderness, wild beasts and animals and everything else is around. And He says He shakes the wilderness. And I tell you, whether the wilderness is in your heart, whether the wilderness is in your home, whether the wilderness is in your life, the power of the Word of God can shake it and bring you out of it. Transform it. Look what He said over here in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Where God found us at. There's lots of people get lost in the wilderness. I mean, men that's used to being in it. I remember several years ago, John Mitchell up in Montana, went hunting. He's hunted up there for years and years and years. And he got turned around. Couldn't find his way out. And he was stuck up on this mountainside, cold. He was about to freeze to death, and he was scared. And he had but a couple of matches. And what he done, he got him a bunch of stuff together and started him a fire. And he set the woods on fire so somebody could find him. He set everything on fire that there was and then got above it. And they saw the fire, and they went to get that fire, and they found John laying down behind a log. And that's why God sends a fire to set our woods on fire. He'll find us in the wilderness. He may have to start a fire to get somebody to come to the wilderness and get you. He went into the wilderness to find who? You and me. He left the 99 and went into the wilderness. And look what he said here in Deuteronomy. Excuse me. In verse 8. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Look where he found him at. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. And then look in Isaiah 35. I want you to see this here. I don't want to keep you too long, but this is what God does for people in the wilderness now. He finds people in the wilderness, and he can shape the wilderness, tear the wilderness up, save his people, whether it's in our heart, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our life. What he said here in verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. The wilderness is going to do this. And then he says, strengthen the weak. Where at? These people that's in the wilderness, in the desert. And confirm the feeble knees. Say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you in this wilderness. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land of springs water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. God takes that wilderness and takes it, turns the desert into water and the wilderness into a pleasant place. And then let me show you this quickly, back over in our text, over in Psalm 29. A life-giving power. Look what he said there in verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. That means, beloved, that the hinds is the same thing as a deer. And he makes them to calve. You know, there they are out in the wilderness. He's got the power to give life. And I tell you what, he said he gives the hinds to calve. He makes them to calve. He causes them to give life. And his word alone, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can give life. When he says, Lazarus, live, Lazarus is going to live. When he says, Zacchaeus, come down, he's coming down. You see, the word is the seed. And I tell you what, in the seed, when it germinates, life comes out of that seed. Our Lord Jesus said in John 12:24, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And when that seed is sown in a man's heart, and the Holy Spirit puts that seed there, that seed will eventually germinate. And when that seed germinates, that shows you the life. It starts bringing forth life and manifesting life. And it's by His Word that men are born again. given new life, and only God can give this life. Only God can produce life. And I'll tell you what, and I'll say this, and I have no fear about saying it whatsoever. If you got life from God, and God has given you life, you know it. You know it. You do not have to doubt about it. You do not have to wonder about it. You know that you was once dead, now you live. You know that you was once lost, but now you found. You know that. You know you was passed from death to life. You know that there's been you know when life comes. And if you got it, you know you got it. If you don't know you got it, then you ain't got it. Oh my, when they bring a baby out of the womb, they said, listen, him crying just gives evidence of his life. He had life even in the womb. And that's the way life is in the womb of the heart until it comes forth from the heart. It's like that baby comes forth. That baby's always been alive in that womb. But it manifests its life and shows its life, and everybody knows that when to manifest its life as quick as it's born, starts screaming. And that's what will happen to you. If the Lord gives you life, you'll start crying out, won't you? You cry the one that gave you life. And then look, he has stripping power. And he said in verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hash to kinds and discovers the forest. What does that mean, discovers the forest? That means he strips the forest bare. He discovers it. He uncovers it. He strips it where you can see it. You can see the forest. He just opens it up and just strips it, and you can see it. He lays it bare. And he knows, he discovers the secrets of our heart. He strips us bare. And then after he strips us bare, then he puts the clothes with the righteousness of his blessed Son. And then look down here, and then and again in verse 9, what it says here. And in his temple do everyone speaks of his glory. Oh my. You know what everybody's talking about in the presence of the Lord? His glory. His glory. That's what he's talking about. Look with me. You keep that just a moment. Look with me in Revelation 5. And I'll be done in just a couple of minutes. Revelation 5. You know, he said here that in his temple doeth everyone speak of his glory. And we've gathered here to speak of his glory. Revelation 5. You know, everything in nature says glory. Everything in His revealed Word says glory to God. This psalm started out with, let us give glory unto the Lord. Let the mighty give glory unto the Lord. Give glory due unto His name. And in His revealed Word, every word says His glory. The Son was made flesh, and we saw His glory. And he revealed the glory of God. Not one word, not one thing that has ever spoken by God will ever fail. Everything will eventually bring glory to God. Now look what he said in Romans, Revelation 5:12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And listen to what happens now. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say. This is what they were saying now. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And then he said back over here in the last two verses, the Lord sits upon the flood. Let the floods come. Let the trials come. The Lord sets on them. The Lord sets for king forever. And listen to this. Even though God's got this voice and His power and majesty and glory, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. When He's breaking things, when He's speaking in the wilderness, when He's speaking in majesty, when He's giving life, He's giving strength to His people, speaking peace. Speaking peace. My little great-granddaughter, I'll tell you this in closing. When she was just a couple of years old, you know, with a big old thunderstorm, something would come by, and we'd be sitting out on the porch and the lightning and the thundering and the rain. And boy, she'd just get scared to death and crawl up in our laps. And we'd just say, "That's just God's voice. That's just God speaking, sweetheart." She says, "God mad?" And I said, "No, no. No, no. That's just the voice of God. That's God speaking. That's God speaking in that storm. Hear that thunder? That's God. Just be still. Be calm. Be quiet." And boy, she said, "Well, and after a while, she got to it. Don't bother anymore." That's why it don't bother. It's God speaking. And now I tell you what, in the storms that He sends our ways, He speaks peace. Don't He? And He gives strength. Our blessed, blessed Savior, how holy and righteous and glorious is Your name. Lord, I thank You that You give me the strength and the ability to get through another service. And I pray by Your grace I honored Your holy name and was a blessing to Your people. Father, forgive us of everything that's unlike You. Not only forgive us of what we do, but forgive us, O God, of what we are. And we look to You for our strength, for our comfort, for our peace. And You said that You will give Your people strength, will give them peace. So give strength and peace to the most tried among us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. There is... Oh my... I can't do it.